For many years, I have been a teacher. I have used all sorts of mechanisms and devices to try to help people. Sometimes to set them free from me, because they weren't of the ilk of the practice. Number 15 in the Tao is so rich in insight and explanation. There is a certain way in which the practice based on what we call the Tao exists within us. I've never been able to quite explain it to people. It's unfathomable. People come and listen to me, but their minds are of another world. The world of DNA and the violence of it. Their genetics, their selfishness. When you come and listen to a discourse based in low self-esteem, you cannot hear these things. You cannot hear what is essential, the subtle essence of it all. So the mind is constantly computing and thinking about what I am talking about, misinterpreting it. It is difficult to listen to the unfathomable. That teaching that is beyond the pay grade of a Gregory Edward Penn mind. To be able to understand the Tao is to understand we can't understand it. There has to be something else present within us. A certain generosity that we normally just do not have. Something we just do not believe in. We are afraid of it. This generosity goes into how we no longer interpret what is being said from the Tao. We just listen to it with mercy, with forgiveness, with the generosity just to listen, with no excess. Excess from Gregory Edwards' mind or his thoughts or his beliefs. So number 15 to me is very precious. Extremely precious. Because it explains the inexplicable, the unfathomable. I'm going to take it very slowly and deliberately, and I hope that it helps you. It begins with this. Ancient masters of excellence had a subtle essence and a deep and profound sense of comprehension. Because they were impossible to comprehend, I will try to describe them by their appearance. So what Lao Tzu is saying here is, this subtle essence, this depth that is profound and cannot be comprehended by my human side, my Gregory Edward Penn intellect, your intellect, makes it impossible to comprehend within us. There are certain things about the Tao that are very difficult to understand, to allow our life to be, so to speak, compromised by. We interpret a great deal based on our understanding, which, if you are in the subtle essence, you would question how you lived your life. Did you understand any of it? And if not, and I'm sure it is not, why didn't you go further? Ancient masters of excellence had a subtle essence. What is this essence, this beingness? I will tell you what it is. It is to live in the Tao as the source of all. Not attached to circumstance, condition, and assumption and presumption. It is to move beyond the thoughts and attitudes of righteousness. What is fair? What is not fair? What is good? What is not good? Imagine living your life beyond the assumption of good and bad, right and wrong. This is the excellence. This is the subtle essence. And its depth is too profound to comprehend through my mind as a Gregory. If you are listening to these discourses, trying to understand them through the mind, through your genetics, your DNA, you will never understand them. They're unfathomable. Most people are not capable of understanding their life from the unfathomable, which simply means something that we explore beyond some emotionality. You see, our thoughts are based in emotional preferences, ones that we inherited. You were you when you were born. Your parents, even in the womb, were teaching you how to be you. You were gathering substances from the womb, essences that you were going to believe in and live from. Our whole mental acuity was born in that. And in that mental acuity that is born from DNA and genetics, we move into a world that can't be comprehended from the premise of my intellectual prowess, instinct. So I learn how to think, and I learn how to adapt my thinking to the interpretation of what is happening. My mind interprets based on genetic assumption, DNA, and its impulses, which is always self-preservation. So I miss a great deal. Things will come before me that are divine, that are beautiful, and I just can't see them. I just can't recognize them because my mind is not attuned to the excellence of a subtle essence that is too profound for my mind to comprehend. Hence, we need many lessons. We need known malice in some ways, but in other ways, we do mean malice when it comes to how we do self-preservation, which is very, very important to most of us. Let me give you a story. There was a king who was considering being a follower of a saint that he thought was very beautiful. But he wasn't really sure if he could understand the saint. His words did not compute with his mind and his values. They just didn't measure. So the saint, knowing this about the king, asked him to show him his treasures. Oh, the king was very proud and happy. And he went and showed the saint each and every corner of his riches, his treasure that was in a room. It was a huge collection of diamonds and rubies and other precious stones. The saint asked, "How much have you profited from these stones?" The king said, "Well, nothing. In fact, I spend a great deal of time in tight security around them and thinking of different ways in which people could come and steal my stones. So security is of utmost importance." The guru, the saint, understood. He said, "Would you consider something more precious than these stones?" Well, the king knew nothing that could be more precious. So he said, "Yes, I would like to see what could be more precious than my collection of stones and riches." So the saint said, come be with me." So they walked about a mile or two from where the king was. It was a walk that was done in total silence. Finally, they came near a house of an old widow. She was making flour using a grindstone, very primitive, very arduous. The saint smiled and said to the king, "This very stone makes flour for hungry people and also helps this elderly lady to have a living. Isn't that more precious than all of your stones that sit in a cave, in a room, that absolutely do nothing for anyone but yourself? And even in yourself, these stones and their value cannot be understood because you don't share them, you don't give them, you don't help humankind." And then he said this, "There is a great difference between something being expensive and something being useful. What you call precious is only what you believe is expensive. Those stones have no value otherwise. This old rugged grindstone that this elderly woman is using to help other people make a living for her and help those who are hungry. Your stones are wasting a lot of unnecessary money on mere security and your own self-preservation." The king was humbled. But you see, this story is unfathomable. We hide what we own and we like to think of it as our secret. We don't tell people how much we have. And we don't use what we have to help other people. Why? Because we're deeply insecure. This is too profound to comprehend in a mind that is struggling with low self-esteem and the fear of self-preservation. It is impossible for a rich man, as Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven. It would be easier, he said, for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is true. I know very few people, rich or poor, who could ever understand the kingdom of heaven and what it meant to enter into it, the riches of it. Jesus, in all of his beautiful teachings, parables, talks about the whole idea of a treasure that lives deep within us, and how when we find it, we must sell all that we have, meaning give up all that we have been for the sake of buying the land where the treasure lives. That's unfathomable to most of us. Illogical. Why not just take it? Nobody will know. Nobody will know how you and many others live with themselves. How do you live with yourself? Most people miss. They do not understand what it means to live in a profound awareness. You must learn to be aware, not to be a thinker. You can't comprehend the value of these discourses. Based on what? I am the grindstone, and I work day and night to help others. This is my why, my life, my way of living. It's impossible for the average person to comprehend. I am that old lady. At the end of this discourse, and we'll go into it later, Lhotse says, he who holds on to the way seeks no excess. Since he lacks excess, he can grow old in no need to be renewed. In other words, to live and grow old with no need for there to be compensation for his elderliness. This is unfathomable to most of us. We live in excess. I have people, friends, students, who try to hide what they have. And they're concerned about keeping what they've got. They don't understand the beauty of the seeds that are living within them. They just don't understand because they're too insecure. I can't take away your insecurities. The best I can do is merely point them out to you. You will have to decide what you will do with your own insecurities, your own fears. If you allow yourself to become vain and bitter about your life, if you do not understand what it means to live in the unfathomable of the heart, you will miss. You will only be interested in what you can get. I'm going to read you something from Lao Tzu. It is a mystery, he says. It is a mystery. If you meet it, you cannot see its face. If you follow it, you cannot see its back. It is a mystery. It lacks excess. Sit with me in meditation, without excess, in the mystique of the mystical.